really appreciate this morning. Can't mentioning 911. It is so easy for us to forget. A lot of things circulate in our minds about that, and I just want to encourage all of us to continue to pray for our nation and the upcoming elections and everything. Not only is it 911, but today is also my bride's birthday. So happy birthday to my wife, and I am truly blessed, and God has blessed my life in so many ways, and one of those is with Kelly. And so happy birthday to Kelly. We are in Colossians, and this is kind of to be continued lesson. If you weren't here last week, I mentioned to you that there was a Rocky Mountain reunion planned at Northwest Church of Christ yesterday. Various churches came together, and there were four or five speakers, and I was privileged to be one of those. And it was out of Colossians, The Worthy Walk. And my topic, I got the really good, it's all good, all of it. We know Colossians is great, but chapter 3, the practical section, you've got doctrinal stuff, and then you've got the practical. I have chapter 3, setting our minds on things above. And I titled my lesson, Full of Him. And the reality that we cannot be full of Him if we're not filled with Him. And I know that's really, really simple, but I think it's important to note. Church, if we can't be full of Christ if we aren't filled with Christ. Now, this isn't rocket science, right? If it was, I wouldn't be up here. We all know that. It's discipline. We already know the truth, but it's being disciplined in these truths. That we need to set our minds on things that are above, and we don't just do it one time. This is part of our daily, everyday life. Now, in Colossians, it's a great, I love Colossians. I think Ed brought up in his class that it ought to be read with Ephesians as well, and I do agree with that. There is very similar material in both letters that you will find. But Paul wants the Colossians to be fully assured. Chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 12. He wants them to have this full assurance. And for some reason, it seems they are not a fully assured people. There are uncertainties, possible doubts and worries and so forth. You've heard of the Colossian heresy. Now, here's the problem with the Colossian heresy. The problem with the Colossian heresy is Paul doesn't tell us what the Colossian heresy is. We kind of have to read in between the lines. Now, we know from his letter a lot of the teaching, a lot of the problems that were circulating, but we don't know all the details. We know on one part of, on one side of it, there is a Jewish persuasion. There is the going back to the law, going back to those sacrifices, the Sabbath, when all of those have been already fulfilled in Christ Jesus. There is also on the other side a pagan persuasion. There's a Gnostic teaching. You've heard of Gnostic. And there's a lot of different ideas from that. There was the self-abasement that Paul brings out. The beating up of the body, the mutilating of the body, thinking that's going to make you more spiritual. There was Gnosticism, and I'm going to go through this quickly. The idea of Gnosticism, the word comes from knowledge, gnosis, which is they thought the idea of there is a higher knowledge. You see, the problem since Christ to today is that those who have believed in Him have been persuaded or pulled to believe that it's Christ and something else. Even today, that it is Jesus, but there's got to be a little bit more. Maybe a little more knowledge, maybe another idea or something. And Paul's letter in Colossians is saying basically, Christ is all you need. Church, whatever messages you hear, Christ is all you need. He's our everything. He will always be our everything. He will always be our all.
There were teachings also during Paul's time that said the flesh is evil, okay? So Jesus could be born in the flesh, right? Flesh is evil, another concept that since it is evil, it's bad. The only thing that matters are spiritual things, right? The heavenly things. So go ahead in your body and do whatever you want to do. But in my section, remember, Paul in chapter 3 is going to say, listen, you have died to those things. You have put off those things when you became a Christian. Remember, we were baptized into Jesus. We put on the new self. Galatians 3, 26 and following, he will say, you put on Christ. You were clothed with Christ. You put off the old clothing of the world, all the lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, the anger, the immorality. Paul mentioned those from verses 5 on, and we're going to read them in a moment of chapter 3. But there's all these teachings in Colossians that seem to be pulling them away from Christ. And Paul is saying, listen, Christ is all that you need. You don't need any more. You don't need any less. You don't need the worship of angels. You don't need empty religion and philosophy. You do not need the law or man's wisdom or the tradition of men. You need to set your mind on things above. For that's how you're going to be fully assured. Kids, Star Wars. Anybody here like Star Wars? I know there's kids here. Probably some of you adults, right? I like Star Wars. Look at that. John in the back. He's a big kid, isn't he? But Star Wars, remember when Qui-Gon said to Anakin, and this was a great statement. He said, your focus determines your reality. Church, our focus will determine our reality. And if we make this earth our focus, and the things of this earth, the things below, our focus, that will be our reality. But what can it provide you? What will it give you? Will it sustain your faith and make you fully assured? This earth, no. Our focus determines our reality. So if our focus is on what is to come, guess what your reality is? Those things that we're here singing about this morning. That I'm trying to communicate, that our scripture reading is communicating, that our love for one another as a family is communicating. That is our reality. And you know what? If the Colossians would just believe the first four verses of chapter 3, I think they would be doing really well. So as we get our Bibles, let's pull them out. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Now, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because last week this was my focus, our focus in the lesson. But notice he said, therefore, and again, that just means read before this, okay? He has already gone back. He said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Remember, how were they raised up? You go back to chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where you find that comparison of the circumcision of the law of Moses versus the circumcision of Christ at baptism. That it is not the cutting away of skin that matters. It is the cutting away of sin. Remember, baptism for the Colossians and you and I was our spiritual circumcision by Christ. It is through your faith and belief in that, but it is by Christ and it is God working. Remember, he even said, verse 11, in him you were circumcised, a circumcision made without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of who? Of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up. You were with him in baptism. You were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I'd love to spend more time in this section, but we can't. But I love this idea of God's working in that moment. And so in this section of Scripture, chapter 3, let's read a little bit more. He said, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. Where did that happen? Go back again, chapter 2.
For you have died. You can also see that in verse 20. If you have died with Christ. For you have died and your life, notice this. Colossians, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, He is our life. When He is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So there were three thoughts that jumped out of here. Remember, we see God's power, we see God's protection, and we see God's promise. The power is that it was His work that raised us up with Christ. The protection is that they are hidden with Christ in God. And finally, you've got the promise that you will be revealed with Him in glory. And we spent time on that, so I want to move along. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get really practical, because this is the practical part of the setting our minds on things above and how we fill ourselves with Christ. Let's look at verse 5. Let's read through verse 11, and then we'll stop. You're going to find that comparison again of the putting off of the old and the putting on of the new. Old man versus new man. I don't want to cover each one. I think we all know what our fleshly struggle is. Whatever yours is, you know what it is. And Paul says to the Colossians, you've put that old man off. So he says, listen, don't go back to that, because it is on account of these things that the wrath of God is going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Now, just because you may still struggle with some of that old man doesn't mean you're a son of disobedience. That old man has died. And in a moment, we'll look at how there's still an element of our life in which every day we're still dying, aren't we? That wasn't just a one-time act. We did die at baptism. But there's also the concept that every day we're dying. We're dying daily. Every day. But there's the sins here, you will notice, of what I've broken down two categories: the sins of the heart and then the sins of the mouth or the sins of the tongue. That's what you'll find here. It all starts at the heart, right? That's what our Lord came to change. That's why He went to the heart, because that's where it begins, and then it proceeds out of our mouth because it was within our heart. So there's the sins of the heart, and then there's the sins of the mouth. Verse 5, therefore what? You've been raised up with Christ. You've died with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ. You're going to be revealed within Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you once walk. That's the opposite of the worthy walk of Colossians. When you were living in them, you lived in these things. They were your life. They're not your life. They may be your struggle from time to time, but they are not your life. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all you need. We can make up a song about that. Christ is all you need. That's what He's saying. He's in all, and He is all that the Colossians need. He is all that we need. Now, when you look at verse 10, this idea of being renewed in a true knowledge, it's our word today for icon, the image. As you go back to chapter 1, verse 15, you'll note that Jesus is the very image of God, right? Remember that great section where He's going to say all these things about who Christ is? He created all things, right? He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, right? All things are upheld by Him. All these wonderful things
that you find in chapter 1. But he'll say in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the reflection of God. He is equal to God because he's God. But then you look at chapter 3, verse 10, and you find this idea of us being the very image of him. We're the very image of Christ. Now, going back to the idea of us dying, I want to touch on that for just a moment. The old man that we have put aside. It is true that we have died, but it is also true that we continue to die. Some of us, we didn't grow up like others. Some of us, we did not, let's just use this analogy, we did not grow up a pure people. Maybe you'll say, I didn't grow up in the church. I've used this before. Some of us grew up more like the Jews, and others of us, when we were young, we grew up like the pagans. We were Gentiles to the core. We didn't know anything about the household of God. We weren't raised up in the temple of God. Perhaps, if I can use this analogy as well, we were raised more like in the temple of Artemis. Our lives were very immoral. Our lives were very bad. And all of us, we understand we're bad, but you get the idea. We didn't all grow up that way. Our lives were not all pretty and neat, and we weren't always taught the right things and how to be good, godly, and moral people. Some of us lived in the pillar and support of lies, not the pillar and support of truth. Selling our soul to the devil in various ways, but church, we all know that a mighty, powerful God came into our life. And it was the blood of his son that redeemed us and bought us back. It is that very blood that transferred us from darkness into the light, into the kingdom of his beloved son in whom we have redemption. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. We died with Christ, but also we're dying every day. I hope you're dying, because if you're not dying to yourself, well, then you're really not growing. If we're the same person all the time, maybe we're not dying to ourselves. I liked what the preacher homiletical commentary said on this very verse of chapter 10 of Colossians 3 about the renewal. It says the present tense is used here, and it is indicated that the new spiritual nature, and I love this thought. This is good news for me. That the new spiritual nature does not reach perfection at once, but is in a state of growth and development. Can I get an amen? You are in a state of growth and development. That's good news, okay, for all of us. We have died, but we die daily. Paul even said, Romans 8, 13, we are still putting to death the deeds of the body. Whatever those deeds are. Let me share this. If there's one point I want to bring across that really caught my attention in Colossians 3. All of it does, but there's one thing that kept jumping out at me, and I don't know why, but I'm going to share some little thoughts that I shared at this Rocky Mountain reunion yesterday. And the main thing, if you remember one thing in chapter 3, verse 1, and I have overlooked this so many times. Your translation may not have this word here. New American Standard states it in chapter 1, verse 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking. Keep seeking. And we're going to look at that for a moment. How do we do that? Again, it's not rocket science. Really, it comes down to our discipline every day. Really, for me, what's important, we already know the importance of Bible study and meditation and prayer, or we ought to. But the daily dialogue, and you've heard me talk about this in the past before, and focusing on our very thoughts every day, our internal thoughts, and the external messages that come our way from this world.
That's what the Colossians were dealing with. The daily dialogue in our internal thoughts and controlling those thoughts. Because the truth is, the remote control is yours. If you and I don't like what's going on up here, what's in here, change the channel. Because the remote is yours. It's not anybody else's. Then there's the external messages that come our way. And that's why we have to be very aware and cautious about what we allow constantly to come into our lives and into our minds. Media unchecked is a dangerous place. We will not seek Christ if media is unchecked in our lives. That's the message that will affect our lives. So let me give you four things that I noticed that happen when we keep seeking, when I keep seeking, and when you keep seeking. And then the lesson is yours. Number one. When we keep seeking the things that are above, we're consistent. Now you're thinking, so we're consistent. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Consistency in our life, in any area, compounds. If you are consistent with your monies, what happens? It compounds. When you're consistent in your marriage and you're feeding that relationship consistently over and over and over and over, it's kind of redundant, isn't it? Keep seeking. Because it compounds in our lives. It strengthens us. Every Christian's good to seek for a day. To seek for a week. To seek for a month. To seek for a year. But the reward, church, doesn't come in a year. It comes at the end of our life. And so Paul says, you gotta keep seeking. It's day in, day out. Week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, till the end of our life. Church, don't stop. Everything in this world is trying to just get you to back away. Don't stop. Number two, I noticed that when we keep seeking, we're repetitious. That kind of goes right along with what we've just said. Well, what's so big about repetition? When we're repetitious about something, we become more convinced about that thing. And if you don't believe me, go back and study why campaign ads are so powerful today. Why commercials are so powerful today. And you've heard me talk a little about this also in the past. The dangers of wrong messages. And how it's easier, has been said so many ways, to believe a lie told thousands of times than it is to hear the truth once and to believe that truth. Many people don't believe that truth. Boy, but do they believe lies? Media's message is convincing millions today, including many in the church, again, that this normal is and what truth is, but normal to our world is a changing message. But God's message, God's truth doesn't change. Peter even said, I stir you up by way of reminder. So repetition convinces. Number three, as we keep seeking the things above, we become more interested. Have you ever noticed, go back and think about the things in your life that you have been interested in. You know what I've noticed? This is a little observation about myself. If I become really interested in something, I begin to gain energy. Energy with that. For some, hope does that for us. Interest creates energy. And so where is our energy? Now I know there are exceptions, and I'm not talking about older folks that are struggling. It's none of that. But when we're interested in something, we have more energy. You know, psychologists and counselors will use this when people are in a very dark place. Depression. One of the things they will say is, if you can find in life an area of interest, it will help you so much because it takes your mind off of that. Maybe you like to garden. Maybe you like to run. Maybe you like to build models. Maybe you like to find an area of interest. Because interest creates energy in our life. And if interest in Jesus and the things above are part of our life, will it not create energy in our life? You better believe it. Maybe perhaps the church is disinterested in various times of its existence because it has not been setting its mind on the things of Christ. It's been setting its mind on its own selfish desires. And there is no energy in that. It's very draining. Lastly, and the lesson's yours. I've noticed as we keep seeking the things above, we increase. This is growth. We grow. As we keep seeking, we keep increasing. We cannot stop growing, church, because the day we stop growing, we're dying. And I don't mean to ourselves spiritually. Inside, it's an internal thing that you've heard me stress time and time again. I've realized that the best way, if I want you to seek and keep seeking in your life, is I got to look in the mirror and I've got to keep seeking myself. That's the best way to help you or someone else to keep seeking. So if we want to be full of Him, we have to be filled with Him. We have to keep seeking the things that are above. And as we keep seeking those things above, we become more consistent, more repetitious in those things, more interested in those things, and we increase. And as I mentioned last week, there will be a moment in which we enter into that glory. And as Paul said, it'll be an eternal way to glory, and it'll be far beyond all comparison. We can't even define it or describe it or understand it. The question I want to leave with you this morning is, have you died with Christ? Because that's what matters. For those who have died with Christ and were raised with Christ, He says, listen, you are hidden with Him and you will be revealed with Him. Thus, if we do not die with Him, we're not hidden with Him. And we will not be revealed with Him. If you have not died with Christ and come to Him by faith, put Him on in baptism where He removes that sin. Would you do it today? We're going to stand and Kent's going to lead us in a song. And we encourage you, whatever your needs may be this morning, would you come as we sing the invitation song?